What a beautiful day this is, and what a wonderful group together to worship God. We are glad that each of you is here today, and all of us should be thankful that we have this opportunity and can be here together to worship God. It is said of Christ in Hebrews 4:15 that we have not an high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we, yet without sin. If you take the two noughts out of the first part of that verse, it says we have a high priest that can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. God, through Christ, knows what our temptations are. And then it is encouraging also to note that Christ was tempted in every point as you and I are tempted. There is no temptation that you and I have today, but that Christ faced that kind of temptation. There are basically three kinds of temptations that are seen in the Garden of Eden: the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And those same three are mentioned in 1 John 2:15 through 17 as being the types of temptations that we face today. An analysis of the temptation of Christ recorded in Matthew 4 and Luke 4 shows that he faced those same kinds of temptations. He did not have the exact temptations that we have today. He did not have television and internet and some things of that nature, but he faced the same types of temptations that we face. And this morning, as we study, continuing in the series of things written in red, looking at those things that Christ said, and in some instances, things that are said about him when he was speaking, we want to look at the subject of temptation. All of us are tempted. It is not a sin to be tempted. It is a sin to yield to temptation. Back in February of this year, on the Fried Hartman Lectureship, I spoke on an assigned subject, Does God Tempt Man? My conclusion in the research for that lecture was that God allows us to be tempted, wanting us to overcome. The devil tempts us, wanting us to yield. It is true that God allows temptation. In that sense, we might say that he tempts us, but not in the same way that the devil tempts, and not with the same attitude or the same desire that the devil has. Let me say that again. God allows us to be tempted, wanting us to overcome and not yield. The devil tempts us, wanting us to yield to the temptation and become involved. As we look at what the Bible has to say about temptation, particularly written in red, we are reminded that a part of the model prayer dealt with temptation. You remember Jesus, in teaching his disciples to pray, taught them to pray, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Understand that to be saying, God, help us to avoid as many temptations as possible. And when we are confronted with temptation, deliver us or help us to be delivered from evil, to where we do not yield, or if we yield, that we're able to overcome the problems associated with that temptation. The second place where the temptation is particularly discussed in connection with the life of Jesus is the record of his own temptation recorded in both Matthew 4 and Luke 4, where he was tempted of the devil in those three ways and did not yield to those temptations. We said in the introduction that Eve and Adam faced three types of temptations in the Garden of Eden. Christ faced those same three types of temptations in the wilderness. And we face those same three types of temptations today. Adam and Eve faced those three and yielded. Christ faced those three and did not yield. You and I face those three and will determine, with many factors involved, whether or not we yield to those temptations. And if we yield, whether we will be overcome or we will overcome them. Just a few simple points need to be made. First, God allows temptation. It is said in verse 1 of Matthew 4 that Christ was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Led by the Spirit suggests that God allowed him to be tempted. God the Father knew that unless his Son was tempted in the same ways that men are tempted, that he would not be able to set the example for man to follow. If God had protected Christ completely from temptation, then we would not know for sure whether or not Christ could live a perfect life. But allowing him to be tempted, showing his ability to overcome and not yield, makes him the Savior that he is for us today, and makes him one who understands what we face on a daily basis. Therefore, he was led by the Spirit, suggesting the idea that it was by the will of God, or with God's approval, that he be allowed to be tempted. Jesus said in Luke 22:28 that the apostles had been with him in his temptations. Now there is no evidence that they were with him in that 40 days in the wilderness and the temptations that followed. But what he is saying here is that they were with him in his personal ministry of 3 to 3.5 years, facing the same temptations that he faced on a daily basis. And Christ certainly faced temptation on a daily basis, not just when he was tempted of the devil after those 40 days and 40 nights without food. In Luke 8 and verse 13, he teaches as a part of the parable of the sower that it is possible to fall into temptation. There, among other soils, he says that some of the seed fell among the rocks, and that they did not take the roots that they needed to take, and because of that, they fell into temptation. So Jesus teaches very clearly that God allows us to be tempted, and that some would fall into those temptations. This might be said in another way, or a twin point to that one, that we need to realize that temptation will come. You remember the accusation that the devil made of God concerning Job? He said to God, "You have put a hedge around him." In other words, you won't let me at him like I want to get at him. If you did, he would turn his back upon you. And you know the rest of the story there, that God did not put a hedge around Job, that God allowed the devil to tempt him, and even at a second level, we might say, of temptation later on. God does not put a hedge around you and me. I think sometimes when we are rearing our children that we wish that he did. As they go out from us and become involved in activities on their own, I suppose there's a little bit of all of us as parents who wish that God would put a protection around them to where they could not become involved in things that are wrong and where they could not face any of the problems and the temptations of life. But life doesn't work that way. There is a sense in which we may build a type of protection around ourselves and around those that we love through the teaching of God's Word and other things to where they are better able to meet temptation. But God does not put a hedge around us. He does not put a fence around us. He does not put an armor on us so that the devil cannot get to us in any way or have any opportunity at least to try to get to us. God just doesn't work that way, and so we can realize that temptation will come. There's a rather interesting discussion written in red in Luke 22, 31 and following, where Jesus was talking to Peter. And he said, Peter, Satan will sift you. In other words, he's going to try you in every way that he possibly can. And he even goes ahead in the next verse and indicates that Peter would fall. This seems to be a prediction of that, because he says, and when thou art converted, in other words, when you overcome this and you come back to who you really are, then I want you to strengthen the other apostles. So Jesus evidently knew that Peter would fall, that Peter would make mistakes. And he said to him, the devil is trying to get you. The devil is trying to lead you away. And in a sense, he was saying, he's going to be successful to a degree, but you're going to be able to overcome him and come back. We need to realize that temptation will come. All of us face temptation. And though I may make this point later in another way, we need to realize that each one of us has a breaking point relative to any kind of temptation. We are not shielded from the evil things that are in this world. As we go about the daily activities of life, we're going to have temptations to say things that we should not say, to think things we should not think, and to do things we should not do. And we may be tempted to sit down and not do those things that we should be doing in life to serve God and to serve one another. We live in a world where temptations surround us on every hand. Some of our songs suggest that. That song that we'll understand it better by and by says in the first verse, and I'm summarizing, that there are temptations on every hand. And sometimes we do not understand, but we'll understand it better by and by. Realizing that God allows temptations and that temptations will come, we need to also be convinced that we can resist temptation. There is an attitude of mind that is present too many times with too many people that I can't do anything about it, that I don't have any control over it. There are some things over which we have no control. There are some things that must be left to God. But there is an opportunity for us to control our relationship to and reaction to any temptation. We do have the ability to resist. You remember the statement that Jesus finally made to Satan when he said, "Get thee hence," or "Get thee behind me." Satan had tried every angle that he could try. And finally, Jesus, as he was in the process of answering him, said, "Get thee hence," Matthew's account, or "Get thee behind me," Luke's account. When he came back in the Garden of Gethsemane, after having gone a little farther to pray, he found his apostles asleep. And he asked them, "Could you not watch and pray with me for 1 hour?" And then he said at Matthew 26 and also Luke 22, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation." Now notice particularly the word "into" there. I don't think he was saying to them, pray that no temptation will ever come, because temptation's going to come. But he was saying, watch and be ready to identify a temptation when it's there. And be able to watch and pray in such a way that you will not enter into temptation. Sometimes we tend to pray that God will remove all problems. when in fact we should be praying that God will give us the strength to meet those problems and to meet the challenges that are there and to overcome them. God will help us to overcome temptation. He will not overcome it for us directly. He will not remove it completely, nor will he protect us, as we've already said, to where we do not face it. But he will help us to overcome it. Jesus is said to have had the angels to come and minister to him after he finished his discussion with Satan relative to those three temptations. And there is a sense in which God will help us, not in that miraculous way of angels coming, but because of his care is here, he will help us. And one of those statements that Jesus made in answer to Satan during the time of the temptations is especially important. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I think Jesus was saying to us there, perhaps among other things, that the word of God is powerful enough to help us to meet any temptation. And we need to recognize that. And magnifying that point just a little bit, let's notice how Jesus used his knowledge of the scripture as he was facing the temptations of Satan. In Matthew 4, on each of those occasions, he answered with the word of God. The one that we have just seen was the first one in this account, where he said that man shall live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That was the answer that he gave to Satan. After the second temptation, he said, "It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." And after the third one, he said, this is where he said, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Notice he basically used positive statements from the word of God to answer Satan on each one of these occasions. He was quoting three passages from Deuteronomy chapter 6 and chapter 8, those statements that were made even back earlier in the old law. But by quoting scripture and giving the word of God to him directly, he was able to overcome the temptations that were there. He indicates that the same thing would be needed by Peter in that passage to which we've already referred. The one where he said, "Satan will sift thee, and when thou art converted, strengthen the others." He also includes in that the word faith, just before he's talking about Peter coming back in the right direction. And he indicates that Peter would have enough faith, though he would fall, that he would be able to get up and come back. And if you study the story of Peter's denial of Christ, you will see that that's exactly what happened. When Peter let the weakness of the flesh take over, he denied Christ three times. But then, after Christ had looked to him, and he remembered what Christ had said, his faith in Christ kicked in. And he was sorry for what he had done, turned his life completely around, became the great preacher on Pentecost, and was involved in bringing so many others to Christ as recorded in the book of Acts, and even wrote two of the epistles that we have today. Why? Because of his faith that had been developed in Jesus Christ, he was able to overcome and to come back out of the temptation to which he had yielded in denying Jesus Christ. We need to emphasize spiritual things today to help us to overcome temptation. It might be good when we are faced with a decision that may involve a temptation to do something that's not good or not wise or even downright wrong, that we stop and meditate for just a moment on what does the Bible say about this. And an idea that's been presented by many of the young people in the last few years may be hitting at this, that little bracelet that was worn that suggested the idea of what would Jesus do is a good idea if it is applied and not just worn to have something to wear. If we would stop and ask at any time, what would Jesus do? What does the Bible say about this? What is the right thing to do? We as humans will still make some mistakes, yes, because we're human. But we will avoid a lot of the mistakes by doing that. And when we see that we are in problems, that we have yielded to temptation, and we've gone beyond where God would want us to go, what is better to help us to come out of that than to stop and ask, what does the Bible say about this? What would God want me to do? If I have said something that's offensive and not good, I need to look at that. What would God want me to do in order to correct this and make it right in His sight and right with the individuals that are involved? If I have slipped and become involved in some type of sin, would it not be good to stop and say, what would God want me to do? What is the remedy? How do I overcome this? How do I get out of it? How do I receive forgiveness? Emphasizing spiritual over physical. And realizing when we are tempted with the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of life, that we can take the Word of God and by applying it, overcome and get out of that temptation. So many times in discussing things with other people, it is so much better to turn to God's Word and read what He says than to simply say something myself or to you say something yourself. There is power in the Word of God that cannot be found anywhere else. And we see that evident particularly in the temptation of Christ. When He answered Satan with the Scripture, He was able to overcome Satan and not yield to the temptations that were there. And then there is something that is especially encouraging. I believe the teaching of Jesus on this subject emphasizes what's emphasized throughout the entire Bible, that we can overcome temptation. Paul would have said it, if we were including his teachings in our study today, there's no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. God will not allow you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation provide a way of escape. We need to believe that God will provide, and isn't that built into that little statement in the model prayer where He says, lead us not into temptation. Notice the next statement, but deliver us from evil. And here again, He's not suggesting, God, you just force yourself upon us and take us out of evil, but He's asking God to help us to find that way that God makes so that we can overcome temptation and come out of it. It is said in Matthew 4:11, after the temptation, that the devil left Jesus. Even the devil will eventually realize when he's whipped. Now, in the case of Jesus, with his perfect life, that came sooner. In the case of each of us, that may not even come in this lifetime. But it does suggest that the devil can be overcome. And again, to that statement to Peter when he said, when thou art converted, in other words, when you come back from the mistakes that you make, here's what I want you to do. I believe Jesus built into that the idea that we can overcome temptation. It's not always easy. And it may not always be the way that we would really want to go till we analyze everything that's involved. But we can overcome temptation. Now here's basically what we've said today. That God will allow temptation. And that temptation will come. We can resist it. But if we don't resist it and fall into it, we can overcome it. And the best way to overcome it is to know the Scriptures and to use them in the right way. Today we do not ask God to shield us from every temptation. I think it is appropriate for us to pray that we be shielded as much as possible. And I think we would want that for our children and for our friends. to not be bombarded with temptation any more than is necessary. However, we really need to pray that God will give us the strength to recognize temptation for what it is, to avoid it if we can, and when we do fall, to get out of it and make it right and resist it and overcome it. And with God's help, we can. There is no problem in life that is so big, but that with God's help, we can be bigger and can overcome it. And the way to overcome that is to become a Christian and live the Christian life. If you have not become a Christian, done everything that God expects you to do to be right with Him, we'd like to help you do that today. If you believe in Christ as the Son of God, you're penitent, have a penitent attitude, will confess that faith, and be buried with Him in baptism for the remission of sins, you'll be a New Testament Christian. And if you've done that, if you have yielded to temptation and have not come out of it, make the step in the right direction. In any way you need to come to Jesus, do so as together we